My name's Tony Hazel. I'm a GP and an e-learning fellow at the RCGP, and I'm joined by Chris Campbell and Colin Fitzpatrick in this second episode of a series about telephone triage. We're going to talk in this episode about a refresher into how to triage for those who might not have done it for some time. So for people who might have done phone triage some years ago and then maybe are coming back to it now, what has changed?
So the big change in telephone triage in recent years for me is that it has become mainstream. It is now a normal and common way of consulting. In the past, we tended to just use telephone calls as a way of quickly introducing ourselves and, generally speaking, bringing the patient in for face-to-face. Nowadays, up to 60 or 70%, sometimes more, of problems are dealt with over the telephone. So it's a normal way of doing things, and we've built the technology around that to make it easier. Most telephone calls are recorded nowadays, which is a huge safety net for the doctor. And you can use other technology like video, etc.
Yeah, I think that certainly is true. We've been doing phone triage at our surgery for about 7 years now, and I really find it useful. I wouldn't want to go back. Chris, could you elaborate a bit more about video calls and how they're useful?
So when telephone triaging, the only real sense we've got is our ears to listen. But one of the biggest disadvantages to telephone triage is that you can't see the patient. And video calls would allow you to see the patient face to face. You can actually look at the patient and get what I call the end of bedogram, where you can actually see the child or see the patient and see what they look like. You can do some kind of examination. They can put the camera phone or whatever app they're using up to a rash, and you can have a look at the rash. You can have a look at chest movements. You can have a look at someone's eye. You can have a look at anything really that you could see face to face. So it really does speed things up and allows patients who are maybe difficult to get to the surgery, allows the doctor to perform a more thorough, robust, safer examination of the patient.
Chris, if someone asked you for a few very basic principles just to get them past their first few calls until they got their confidence back, what would those principles be?
Oh, I think if I had to give three, I'd probably say the first thing is listen. When you obviously you can't see, but if you do what we call the golden minute, where you just listen to someone talk for a whole minute, using that minute, they'll tell you exactly what's been happening in their own words. Second thing I'd always say is use open questions. As soon as you start asking closed questions like, are you breathless? Have you got a cough? You usually get a positive response. But if you ask someone to tell you about their breathing, they'll be much more open with that one and it won't be as closed. The other thing is to try and work out what the patient's ICE is, the ideas, concerns, and expectations. So what was a patient phoning for? Are they phoning because they want a prescription? Are they phoning because they think they're going to be seen? Are they phoning just for some reassurance or for some advice? As soon as you know what the patient's expectations are, it really helps you structure the triage call and how you're going to proceed.
Yes, I would completely agree with that, because sometimes you offer a patient an appointment and actually that's not what they're after. They were keen to be reassured on the phone. Colin, what would you say are your key consultation skills other than the ones already mentioned when you're triaging over the phone?
Well, the big one, which has already been mentioned, is listening and allowing patients to speak uninterrupted and ideally tell you what the problem is. And then being sensitive to their emotions. So people, you don't have the visual signs that they're upset. So you need to be very sensitive to people's emotions and sometimes be quite explicit about asking them how they feel about things. You need to have that sense as to what it is they actually want out of the consultation, which we've already mentioned. And then that the whole skill about specifically asking about signs and symptoms so that you can get a really good picture as to what that patient looks like, even if you don't have the video image.
And echoing on to Colin's comments there, obviously, if you're talking to someone over the phone, they can't see your empathetic body language. They can't see your emotion. They can't see you giving those non-verbal cues where you're nodding your head or smiling and reassuring them. So it's really important to, when you're triaging, to get a nice empathetic statement in quite early. It builds up rapport and is likely to get the patient on your side a lot quicker.
That's really useful. Thank you. We all use red flags in our general consultations. Are there any specific red flags that you would use more in phone triage, or any sort of red, green, amber system that you would use?
I find that it's one of the things that really is startling to me is where I get unexpected breathlessness. Somebody, I'm speaking to them on the telephone, they don't have chronic COPD. I don't expect them to be very short of breath, but they're struggling to finish a sentence. that's the sort of consultation that I will actually end very quickly on the telephone. I'll say, no, we need to see you, or we need to send an ambulance for you, or whatever, because I've already taken my decision.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Colin and Chris. And thank you very much for listening.